Welcome, everybody, to the Sri Sri Radha Kalachandjidam Srimad Bhagavatam class discourse. I'm with you this morning, Rupanugada, servant of Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, servant of Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada. This morning, for those of you who are listening in online, listening in by radio, we're going to continue our readings in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and this is chapter number 16. Today we'll be covering texts number 34 through 37. There are no purports to 34, 35, 36. Before we do, let's chant just a little bit more as our invocation to the Supreme Lord. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Gopichanda Vallabha Girivaradhari. Jai Gopichanda Vallabha Girivaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Jamuratira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Nitai Gaura Premananda Hari Hari Go. Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Padipajaka Charja Hasta Tarasata Sri Sri Madhus Divine Grace Abhaya Charanaravinda Bhaktivinata Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki. Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Paribhajaka Charja Hastu Tarasata Sri Sri Madhus Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki. Ananta Kuri Vaishnavrinda Ki. ISKCON Guru Vrinda Ki. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Gaura Premananda. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru, Sri Gauranga. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Shamati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Namade. Namaste Sarasvati Deva Gaurapade Pachani Nindivishesha Shunivali Pashtata Deshitam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chayim Ranottamam Devim Saraswatim Yasan Tato jaya mudira yat nasta preshva vidreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavatyutama shloke bhaktir bhavari naishtiki tantra shrimad bhagavatam ki jai. Source of our liberation during this age of Kali. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 16, the chapter entitled The Lord's Opulence. Yesterday we heard text number 33. Dharma Prabhu gave class yesterday. And today we're beginning with text number 34. So we'll recite the Sanskrit word for word. Apam rasas cha paramas tejishtanam vibhavasu prabha suryendu taranam shabdo ham nabhasa para apam rasascha paramas tejishtanam vibhavasu prabha surindu taranam shabdo ham nabasa para apam rasascha paramas tejishtanam vibhavasu prabha suryendu taranam shabdo ham nabasa para. Chant, please. Apam rasascha paramas tejishtanam vibhavasu prabha suryendu taranam shabdos ham nabasapara apam rasascha paramas tejishthanam vibhavasu prabha surendu taranam shabdo ham nabasapara. Anyone else? Word for word translations. Apam, of water. Rasa, the taste. Cha, also. Parama, excellent. Tejishtanam, among most brilliant things. Vibhavasu, the sun. Prabha, the effulgence, Surya, of the sun, Endu, the moon, Taranam, and the stars, Shabda, the sound vibration, Aham, I am, Nabasa, of the sky, Para, transcendental. Translation by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. I am the sweet taste of water, and among brilliant things I am the sun. I am the effulgence of the sun, moon, and stars, and I am the transcendental sound that vibrates in the sky. Text number 35. Brahmanyanam baliraham viranam aham arjuna bhutanam stik Shaktiru Patir Aham Vai Prasti Shankrama. Translation: among those dedicated to Brahminical culture, I am Bali Maharaj, the son of Virochana, and I am Arjuna among heroes. Indeed, I am the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of all living entities. Text number 36. Gatyuktyuktyuktsargopadanam anandasparshalakshanam aswadasrutyavagranam aham sarvindriyendriyam. Translation: I am the function of the five working senses, the legs, speech, anus, hands, and sex organs, as well as those of the five knowledge-acquiring senses, touch, sight, taste, hearing, and smell. I am also the potency by which each of the senses experiences its particular sense object. Text number 37, and this will be the final text that we read today. Prithivi vayur akasya apo jyotir aham mahan vikara purusho vyaktam raja satvam tava param aham etat prasangyanam jnanam tatva vinischaya. Interesting, instead of having four lines as usual, this one had six lines in the text. Translation: I am form, taste, aroma, touch, and sound. False ego, the Mahatattva, earth, water, fire, air, and sky, the living entity, material nature, the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance, and the transcendental Lord. Krishna saying that he is all these things. All these items, along with the knowledge of their individual symptoms and the steady conviction that results from this knowledge, represent me. Purport: having given a brief but detailed synopsis of his personal opulences within this world, the Lord now briefly summarizes the opulences that expand from his bodily effulgence. It is stated in the Brahma Sanghita that all of the material universes with their infinite varieties, transformations, and opulences rest on the bodily effulgence of the Lord. Srila Jiva Goswami has elaborately explained this point in his commentary on this verse. End of the purport. Om Vijnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakchurun Militam Jena Tasma Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishnam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Hakada Maya Dharati Swavarantikam Nama Om Vishnu Varaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Tamal Krishna Gosaminiti Namane Nama Om Vishnu Varaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Golavani Pachanine Nivashesha Shunipari Paschatade Shatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Rabunitananda Siadvaita Kalanhara Shivasadi Gora Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. During this whole chapter, we've been listening to and reading the opulences of the Supreme Lord. So a question came to my mind: does Krishna really care about us? How can anybody who has all of these opulences in complete, in full, ever-expanding opulences, how is it that he could possibly care about us who are mere specks on this planet, which is a speck within this universe? We're specks on a speck. And we don't deserve inspection. But nonetheless, Krishna does seem to care about us. So we observe the plight of persons who have opulences within this material world. There are persons who have considerable more material opulences than we do. And with a little introspective look at those persons on our part, we can understand that each one of them, each one who has one of those opulences in this material world, has some difficulty. For example, in possessing wealth, a person attracts those who are after money. So a person who has considerable wealth within this material world can never be sure what the motivation is for someone who is approaching them. A person who has beauty attracts those who want to possess that beauty. We see that happening. And that happens in both genders, both in men and in women. A good-looking man who is beset with all kinds of attention from those of the opposite sex. Same thing is true with a beautiful woman. So this is a problem. This is a problem for them. It's really hard to know who really cares about you, the individual, if you're the one who possesses the opulences of wealth or beauty. Those who have fame always attract those who want attention themselves. By simply associating with a famous person, one can develop some fame himself or herself. And we see that to be true when a new president comes into office in the United States. There quite often are family members who get into the spotlight. And so they are attracting those that also want to have some fame. In other words, the president, his family members naturally are going to receive a lot of public attention. Those who have power, have garnered power in this material world, attract others who also want control. And sometimes it is said that groups of persons who have considerable power within this material world hang out together and control all of the affairs of the entire world, whether they be wars, whether they be the building of nations or the tearing down of nations, the putting of someone into power or the removing of someone from power. Those persons, a small group, it is said, control all of the major activities on this planet. And quite often, that the use of that power can be ruthless. And so, also, there's the opulence of knowledge. One who becomes knowledgeable about something, even a small portion of this material energy of Krishna, becomes known then as an expert, and quite often has persons all over the globe coming to him asking his opinion on this or that regarding that little bit of knowledge that he has gained, or I should say maybe a lot of knowledge that he's gained, but in a very, very small, highly focused feature of the Supreme Lord's material energy. So these are all difficulties that a person has who obtains some opulence within this material world. He never knows who he can trust. It may be someone who is trying to get his attention just so that person can become one of those who move in that person's sphere of activity. And other times, it may be someone who is trying to topple one from his position. For example, again, using the example of our present administration of this country, we see that this person has somehow or other, it seems by chance, by luck, has gotten into the position of presidency. And not only does he have those who want to share the limelight with him, but then there are many others who want to topple him, who want him removed from that position for some reason or another. So that's observing those persons who have some opulence within Krishna's material energy. But Krishna has all opulences, as we understand it from these literatures we're reading, and he has them in full. He doesn't have them just partially, and he doesn't have them for just a short period of time. He has them for, ever since time immemorial, since the very beginnings, if there was such a thing as beginnings. But we understand that for those who are eternal, which includes us, the spirit souls, there is no beginning and there is no ending. We're simply having various activities in this material world as long as we're forgetful of our position as servants of that supreme opulent person. So we not only do we observe the opulences of those who are in material life, but we also observe the nature of Krishna's representatives. And it's quite a stark contrast to those who have opulences and of the material sort. For example, we notice that a person who is a very staunch representative of the Supreme Lord is always humble, and he never puts himself in a position in competition with the Supreme Lord, nor does he ever put himself above other people in this material world. But we also have seen those of us who have taken a spiritual master who has that quality of humility, he can also be very firm when it's required, especially when he sees that a person is on some kind of destructive path that would hinder that person from becoming a more advanced devotee of the Lord, or one who is putting obstacles in the way of other people's advancement on the spiritual path. So humble but firm. He treats others with kindness, and this is something that we find to be a bit of it's almost non-existent in this material world. So whenever we encounter somebody who treats us with kindness, not just occasionally, but always, then we know that that person must be representing some higher authority who is similar. In other words, those of us who cannot actually see the Supreme Lord, Krishna, and see him in all of his opulence, we have to take instructions from his representatives who have some of those opulences that the Supreme Lord has. But they never become proud because of the opulences that they have, because they're in knowledge and they realize that pride or arrogance then is coming directly before a fall from their exalted spiritual position. So treating others with kindness is a very nice thing, and it's just almost almost non-existent within this material world, such kindness as we have seen in the followers of Srila Prabhupada, who is Krishna's very perfect representative. The spiritual master, or that person who is in an advanced spiritual position, also makes others feel worthy. And this is another quality, worthiness, that is sometimes lacking in people because they have so little success in dealing with other people. And they quite often will take it as their own responsibility, their own fault, that they're not successful in dealing with other people. Sometimes when a person is on a job and does not have a great deal of success, and getting along with the people on that job and eventually loses his position with that organization, then he may start feeling himself as being very unworthy of any kind of success. And then he comes into contact with one of Krishna's representatives, and that person gives him the relief of letting him know that you are a worthy person because you're a part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. You're as good as any other spirit soul on the planet. It's just that you're having to go through some difficult times, perhaps because of something that you've done in the past. But if you have any inclination to gain some knowledge about the Supreme Lord and then to offer him some worship, then the Supreme Lord will see to it personally that you're not just being punished for what you've done in the past. Rather, you're being given a little slap on the hand, or maybe it's a hard slap on the hand or slap on the face, to wake you up and remind you of what you should be doing. So it's not that we are unworthy. It's just that we have suffered some reactions from what we've done in the past. We've made some foolish judgments, perhaps, in this lifetime. And we've gotten into the position of feeling like I just can't be successful in this material world. We also find that along with being kind to you and making you feel your own self-worth, the representative of Krishna will accept you as a lifelong friend. And that's pretty amazing. It's just almost non-existent also, just like kindness. It's almost non-existent in this world that we're living in today that anyone wants us for a lifelong friend. They might be good to us for a short time, but one of the ways that we have found that we can tell if someone really likes us and wants to be with us is that they will make the attempt not just to invite us into their own homes, but they will actually come to see us in our home, and they will sit and have a conversation with us for no good reason at all, just to be with us because they happen to like us. So that's the kind of friendship that is also very rare in this material world. Most of us have, you know, once we enter our houses and close the doors, we've got our own activities going on, and it's very hard for us to then accept a person who just shows up at our door. But when that person does come and wants to just sit and chat with us for a little bit, just to share some things, some experiences, or maybe some realizations he's had, then, you know, that makes us feel that, wow, I am worthy of friendship with this person. This person is continuing after all these years. He's continuing to give me his friendship. And that's a wonderful thing. So then one of the characteristics of the person who is Krishna's representative, and he's willing to share knowledge about Krishna's qualities and pastimes. And this whole chapter that we've been reading here, chapter 16, is speaking of Krishna's qualities, and they're just so numerous. I think we're going to read in a few verses from today's verse that Krishna says that I might be able to count all of the atoms within this universe, but I will never be able to reach the end of my opulences. In other words, Krishna's opulences are so numerous and they're spread throughout all of these material universes which come from the pores of the skin of that great personality, Mahavishnu, who is but an expansion of Krishna's expansion. And so Krishna then has unlimited opulences, and he carries on unlimited, wonderful pastimes, and yet he cares about the individuals, about us, who are struggling in this material world, just trying to get through it. just trying to be decent people. So it behooves us then to take on the qualities of those persons that we observe and find to be saintly persons. We want to be kind to other people, not just because it makes the other people feel good, but because it makes us feel good to share that kind of kindness with other people. We desire to become free from our personal desires and ambitions that have been bugging us ever since we were old enough to have personal desires and ambitions. We want to become free of those. We try to give knowledge of Krishna to others once we come into contact with the devotees of the Lord and find out the reason that Krishna is a person worth knowing. Then we want to give knowledge of Krishna to other people so that they can have the experience of realizing that, wow, there is someone who really cares about me, who is really great, but still he has the time to share with me. And so we want to emulate the behavior of saintly persons. That's the ultimate goal, is to try to emulate the behavior of those persons that we consider to be saintly, those persons who themselves are worthy representatives of the Supreme Lord. And going back to the opulences of persons in this material world, I was once, within the past 20 years or so, I associated myself with a group of people who were following the lead of this one person who seemed to be able to attract wealth, to attract followers. And I thought, well, I was trying to find my place in society. What am I going to do to earn money for the rest of my life? I had pretty much walked away from my background as an engineer, and I was trying to decide, well, if I don't do that, then what will I do? And so this person I was attracted to, and I attempted for some time to follow his instructions about making money and helping other people to make money. Logic was that the way to become rich is to make other people rich. If you can find a way to make other people wealthy, you also will be wealthy. And so there was a little convention that we were having somewhere. It seemed like it was in Fort Worth. And I went there, and it was the kind you could take your wife or your partner with you. And so I took my wife there, and I happened to encounter this person and stopped to talk with him for just a moment. And during the time that I was talking with him and introducing him to my wife, I could see his eyes were scanning the crowd, looking for those persons who were likely to be able to help make him wealthy. In other words, he was standing there talking to me, but there was no feeling of love and friendship, really, that I was feeling coming from him. So here was a person who had some material opulence. And because of that, then I wanted to associate with him and see if there was some way that I could also at least gain enough opulence that I could support my family. But I could see in dealing with him for that short moment of time, probably no more than 1 or 2 minutes, that this is not the kind of person that I have come into contact with in Krishna consciousness. This is not a person whose behavior I want to emulate. So I gave it up. I saw that it could possibly have made me wealthy. I don't know. Probably not. I've never had the problem of having too much wealth at my disposal. But I thought maybe this person could lead me in a direction that I could start some kind of business on my own. But, you know, Krishna had other plans. That was not to be. So Krishna has put me in touch with and put me in the association of persons who have dedicated their lives to serving him. And why are we serving him? Do we want some of his opulence? Do we want some of his wealth, some of his fame, some of his beauty, personal beauty? What do we want from Krishna? And we find that we simply want I mean, after we've been in the association of other saintly persons, what we find is that we just want his love. We want his love. And what is strange is that he doesn't need anything from us. He has all the opulences that he needs without us. And yet he is willing to give us his love and give us his personal attention. And he is so kind to us that as we go through this material world in different kinds of species of bodies, he goes with us. He's there with us all the time. He never leaves us. He never just throws us into the material world saying, "Suffer, fool." He never does that. He's always so kind that he comes and is right there with us. You know, just like the closest friend dwelling in this same body that we're in right now. And when this body is finished, he will go with us into the next body that we get, depending on what our desires are at the time of our departure from these bodies, depending also on whatever reactions that we have to carry with us and try to work out in our next lifetime. But he's always concerned about his spirit souls, and he's even more concerned once that spirit soul turns his head toward him. And so the whole purpose of being within this material world is to, well, not just one of the purposes, is to give us a lot of distractions. If we want to forget Krishna, then Krishna's material energy makes it possible for us to forget Krishna. But if we somehow or other come into contact with someone who can renew our search for some real happiness in this material world and give us an object for that happiness, then Krishna will respond to that, and he will keep giving us opportunities for coming into contact with him. We've experienced that when we first came into contact with this with the representatives of this Krishna consciousness movement. And so as our desire grew and grew to know more and more about this Supreme Person, the opportunities came, and the chance to be with other persons who knew more than we did, who were farther along on the path, made themselves available to us and allowed us to become lifelong friends. So this is the nature of that Supreme Lord whose opulences we've been reading about, and we can be just bewildered by them, not understanding how a person can, from that person's, just the effulgence of that person's body, all of these opulences are coming. And then we remember Krishna's statement in the Bhagavad Gita that all of these material universes spring but from a spark of my splendor. So this is quite a person that we have at our, I don't know whether I should say at our disposal, who is blessing us, who puts himself at our disposal if we simply turn to him and want to know more about him and want to serve him in some small, meager way. So this is the kind of God that we serve in this Krishna consciousness movement. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Okay, so everyone, thank you very much for coming and joining us today. It's been a pleasure knowing that you're within earshot. You can hear us on the internet, hear us on the radio, or you can hear us somewhere in the temple compound. It's been our pleasure to be with you today, to serve you, and to serve the Bhagavatam, to serve Srila Prabhupada, and to serve Shishi Radha Kalachanji. And we offer our humble obeisances to all of you Vaishnav devotees of the Lord who are just like desire trees, who fulfill the desires of everyone, and who are full of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhi evacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha anantakuri vaishnavrinda ki jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai Shri Shri Radha Kalachandri ki jai Go to Premanand.